Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Yes, it is. It is Kim, and I am so grateful to be here, and I thank you so much for tuning in, and I welcome you to the brighter side of life. And of course, I hope that you all are having a great day and you've had a great week. And I do want to remind you that to download our podcast at Kim Pagano Show, and that is on all of the platforms, and also share us with everyone. I do want to give out our phone number here, and that phone number is 805-419-0008. We've got a great show for you today. And of course, I always love to start our show with something uplifting. And today's is, where there is no struggle, there is no strength. And that's really what life's about. Keep going. I do also want to say that I would not be here without all my sponsors. And Littlefoot Construction, TNT Anger Management, E-Woman of Calabasas, the Manhattan of Camarillo, Main Street Mortgage, Ridley Defense, Survival with Kim, Web Weaver Consulting, Caneo Valley Lifestyle, Navo of Ventura, and Ruth Kent as my newest one. And if you would love to get your name on that list, please give us a call. And that number again is 805-419-0008. I'd love to introduce my first guest. And of course, that is Anthony Annarino. And his book is Leading Growth and the Proven Formula for Consistency Increasing Revenue. You know, I'm all about business. I am a business coach as well as a media coach. And we are heading into an interesting new year, 2023. A lot of people predict it's going to be a different year. Let's just say that, possibly a recession. And so I give you incredible guests that can really help us navigate where we are in life and where we are in business. And so I am really excited. Anthony has spent 20 years selling and leading Salesforce in the highly committed industry of staffing before becoming a writer and a publisher. And we're going to find out a little bit more about some of the great things that Anthony can share his time with and share his thoughts in some of his workshops. So, Anthony, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about it's interesting. So, Salesforce, talk to us about that. How did you get in with that?
I did it reluctantly. When I was a young kid, I went to work in my mom's business, which was staffing, and she was raising four kids by herself. And at some point I decided that I was going to play rock and roll. And to be able to play rock and roll at night, you're not going to make any money. So I decided to work for the family business. And what I was told was, if you're not interviewing people to place them in jobs, then what I want you to do is call companies and ask them for a meeting so we can help them get the people that they need. Now, I didn't believe what I was doing was selling. I thought that I was just trying to help people. And so I made a lot of calls and I was fairly successful right out of the gate. But California, I lived in Brentwood for 3 years, fronting a hair metal man, believe it or not. Yeah. And I had to get a job in Los Angeles. So I worked for Olsten Services, which was a very, very large staffing company. And I had a mentor that showed up into my life. And he told me that I had to cut my hair and I had to complain that I'm in a hair and metal band. I'm not in the metal band. I need the hair. Yeah. And so we negotiated that I could have a ponytail as long as it didn't touch my belt, which it did at the time. And so I cut my hair and I went into outside sales. And I had a really, really good mentor. And I learned a lot about how you help people. And I ended up loving the work that I was doing. But I was 24 years old, just turning 25, and walking up to my apartment one day, I had a grand mal seizure. And I was diagnosed with something called an arterial venous malformation, which is basically a big group of arteries and veins that grew into a knot. And it was on the back right lobe of my brain. And I went back to Columbus, Ohio, and I had a brain surgery, two brain surgeries, actually, one to seal it shut and then one to remove it, along with the bruised brain. And before I had this surgery, nobody told me that I wasn't going to be allowed to drive for 2 years. So in 1992, you couldn't get around in Los Angeles without a car.
Correct.
And then they also didn't tell me they were going to cut off a piece of my brain. So I woke up to discover all these things. And I went back into the family business, and I grew it from $3 million to $7 million in the first year. And then I grew
that's
it
all?
To, not too bad, but
yeah.
I had a good teacher. So the teacher gave me the skills to do it. And then I took it all the way to $50 million. And that's when people started asking me to help them think about how they sell and what they need to do to be able to grow their business. So the only books I ever write, Kim, are books where I've actually done what I'm telling other people to do. And Leading Growth is a book about how do you consistently generate new revenue year after year.
I love that. Anthony, first of all, wow, what an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that with all of us. My husband had to have brain surgery, so I get that whole kind of thing. I'll have to talk to you later about that. But how are you doing today? Are you good?
100%.
Awesome.
I was bored for about 60 days while I waited to recover. And then I went to college. I was 26 years old when I went to college. I graduated summa cum laude. I won the Dean's Academic Scholarship to law school. And then I went to Harvard Business School. 9 years of education compensating for the loss of a piece of my brain. So I maybe overdid it a little bit.
You know what's interesting? I swear, because when you're saying that, obviously you are brilliant. Okay. I told my husband, I think he had a brain transplant, you know, when he went in there, because he was like, I mean, there's like, I kind of asked him a question. He's like, oh yeah, it's for a little bit. I'm like, okay, I know when I met you, you were not like that. So, but you know what? Our minds and our bodies take over when we need them. And so that sounds kind of like what you, you know, you increased all your other efforts. So good for you. Talk to me about. Go ahead.
Two sort of things that happened to me. One, I went to my neurologist and I said, I think my brain is like making new connections. And this is like 1992. So we don't know about plasticity in the brain at that time. And then at the same time, he said, I need you to fill out this form on your disability. And you can either choose partially disabled, which you'll get a little bit of money for some period of time, or you can put down that you're disabled and you'll get checked for the rest of your life. And I said, am I disabled? And he said, you are if you think so. And I said, well, I don't think so. And I just thought that was one of the most interesting things anybody's ever said to me. And some of us are disabled because we believe we're disabled.
I just
even
was
going
to say that. And that really goes to really why I do my show. Are you half full or are you half empty? And obviously you are half full. And that's the way you looked at life. That's the way you looked at your sales. That's the way you, I mean, you can just tell that's your personality. So I love this. Let me ask you, why this sales leadership book is so unique? Tell us about that. You know, one, and then I want to ask you about your mentor.
Sure. When I've written four books on sales, and I've spent a lot of time working with maybe just a little over 300 companies in the last 10 years, flying all over the world to give keynotes and do workshops and trainings. And after you do that for a long enough period of time, you realize the people that need help are the sales managers. They get no real training. They don't get any real development. And yet they're doing one of the most difficult jobs that you would do, which is get results through other people. in something like sales, where there's a variability of skill from person to person, they need different types of coaching. And you have a lot of clients right now that don't want to talk to salespeople because the experience isn't good for them. And they can do a lot of this work on the internet. So what I wanted to do was give the sales manager a guide and something that was completely practical, tactical, actionable. But I also wanted to make sure that it was about helping other people, because that's what I care most about. So I end every one of my newsletters with do good work. And that's what I think we're supposed to be doing. So when I look at business, the way that I think of this is there's certain stakeholders. So one of them is the person that works for the sales manager. So that person needs help. And that person, if we don't help them, then they don't do as well as they could. And their family doesn't get the income that they need because we're not helping that person enough. Mm-hmm. And then you have to think about when we go out and we talk to clients, if the salesperson's not good for the client, then the client doesn't buy and they don't get the better results that they need. And then the company doesn't do well. So there's a whole bunch of stakeholders that if we look through that lens and say, our job is to help every one of these stakeholders do better in the future. And I know that's going to resonate with you because I read your bio before I got on the call with you. So I know who you are. We have to go out and help make a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we have to make a difference while we're here.
Mm-hmm. You know, I heard that in your first sentence of who you were, that you just went out there and just helped people. You were just helping people. You had no idea really what you were doing. And that's really like in this world, and probably more so in this time of my life, and I think in this time of all of our lives, it's like, who can you help and who can you service? If you go with that kind of attitude, oh my gosh, sky's the limit, right? I mean, it's just, if you go out there to sell, you've already set yourself up for failure.
That's exactly right. And the more that you just focus on, this person in front of me is trying to solve a problem. They're trying to get better results. They need somebody who knows things that they don't know, that if they could understand some of these things, they would get better results. That's when you're doing your best work, is when you're totally other-oriented instead of being self-oriented. If you feel like, well, I need to do something to this person, then you're not going to do well. In my first book, the way I describe this is selling isn't something that you do to someone. It's something that you're doing with someone and for someone to benefit that person. And if you do it with that in your heart, selling's really easy. If you decide that you want money, then it's harder for you.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And you know how they always say, if you do what you love doing, money's going to come, right?
Yes.
And I really, really believe that. You know, after 17 years of being a radio host and working with different clients, and they get all prepared to come on my show, and then they don't really have their gift down, their message down. So I started doing business coaching, and I took all these classes, and I've learned so much, and I love coaching, and I love taking coaching lessons from other people. But what I really learned is, sometimes I would be all prepared for my client and it wasn't what they needed. And so I was like, okay, wait, what do you need? And I would ask them, and everything that I prepared for was not. So now when I go into a coaching, it's like, what is your burning desire? How can I help you? And it's almost like an intuitive of really finding their niche.
Yeah. And a lot of people need help being able to give themselves over to what they actually want. And that's where a great coach is helpful. Like you have to be able to say, well, the way that I look at this, Kim, you're on the planet for about 4,100 weeks total. That's the average. The numbers actually come down a little bit because of COVID and because of suicides and fentanyl. So those are actually lowering that number. But it's a short time that you're here. And I think that if you are here, you should go out and make the difference that you want in the world, because you're not going to be here forever. So whatever you want to do, whatever you think your gift is, you have to just go ahead and start doing that immediately, because you're going to run out of weeks, and we all run out of weeks at some point in time. And I think the more people have clarity about, I'm here to make some sort of contribution, and they figure out what that is, they're a lot happier.
I love that. And, you know, and when you have something happen in your life that is life-altering, I think that's a message from, you know, God or your higher power or whatever, you know, everybody believes in, that, wow, okay, yeah, life is precious. And especially going through the last couple of, you know, years of pandemic, there was a time, you know, through that whole thing, I was like, wow, I was running 24/7. I do not run like that anymore. I cherish my time. I cherish my home, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my dad that I still have. I cherish that. I cherished it before, but it's so much different. I'm so aware of my time now.
Yeah, whenever you hear somebody say something like, I'm writing a new book right now about how not to be negative, but when you ever hear somebody say something like, cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me, and you're like, that's impossible. But the perspective shift for that individual is so great, it is valuable to them, even though they went through this terrible trauma. That does, for a lot of people, that is what changes their trajectory afterwards. I mean, it did for me for sure. And yeah, I know a lot of other people that had the same sort of experience, like you move in a different direction now.
I totally get that. So let me ask you, and I know we have like 2 minutes left. I'm going to have you back on because I really enjoy talking to you. And I think this is, we could do some really good stuff together. You have a 4-part method for leading sales teams. Give us that top one for our listeners.
The first one is to have a vision that you can share with that team so that they understand what we're going after, why we're going after it, and what it means to us, and what it means to our families, and what it means to our companies, and what it means to our clients. And I think that that's the starting point that a lot of people miss. They think, well, these people are coming to work and I have to manage them. But you also have to inspire them. You also have to coach them. You also have to help them grow while they're under your care. And if somebody, if you would ever think about the best leader you had, it wasn't one that said, Kim, you know what? You're perfect. You're mediocre. You don't bother me. I won't bother you. That's not a great leader. But the one that says, Kim, you are so much more than this. If you would just make a couple adjustments to what you're doing right now, like, you're going to take off. You have so much potential in front of you. And that person that can see that in another person ends up being a great leader and a great coach because they're willing to act on those things.
I love that. And they believe in you. And that's why you're part of my team. And that's what it's all about. People just want to feel good about themselves, and they want you to see the best in them. That's what it's all about, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I love that. Anthony, and I'm going to say it, Anarino.
Perfect.
Did I get that right? Very cool. And how do we find your book? How do we find you? I want to have you back on again, and I love what you're doing.
The best place to find me is thesalesblog.com. And this December 28th will be 13 years that I've written a blog post, 13 years in a row without missing any days. So that's the best place to find me. If you're interested in success or leadership or business, you'll find something there.
I love it. Thank you so much. Please share our show, download our podcast, and I want to talk to you further. I love what you do, and congratulations on doing such a great job.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right. Take care. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And of course, I have some more amazing guests. So stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on 3 fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-419-0008. My next guest is actually a really good friend of mine, and he is a business coach, and we're going to talk with Dan Cargiola, and we're going to help you build your business inside out, breaking down barriers to success. And I'd love to just share a little bit about Dan. Dan hails from Argentina, by the way, of Venezuela, Minnesota, Colorado, and Texas, and he actually lives here in Southern California with his wife, their new dog that he just adopted, and he is fluent in English, Spanish, and Portuguese, French, and Italian. So I think he's pretty progressive in that area. But not only that, Dan is both an innovator and practical partner who helps uncover small yet critical steps in those who he coaches. He assesses the situation, works closely with his clients to focus on both the big picture, mission, and strategy, and the immediate next steps, tactical, and work plan with flexibility with an eye on the mission and key metrics. And he basically works with companies, teams, and finds all the reasons and the way to make sure that you are breaking down those barriers to success. Let's welcome Dan. Are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Did I get it all right? Is there anything that I missed? Because I know that you are so passionate about helping teams. You've been doing this for a really long time. And, of course, now you're kind of breaking off into your own. Instead of doing huge companies, you're kind of breaking down to littler, smaller companies, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I've been spending over 20 years working with large corporations from the Boeing to Microsoft, even helping Accenture. But I've also done some work in the past with small businesses in different industries. Yeah.
I love that. So, Dan, talk about build, attraction, and retention. What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, let me begin with this. If you were looking at your business and you were saying, okay, what am I here to do? What's my product and service? And who am I serving? I think that's a good beginning, is it not?
Yes.
So it's important to look at it from the outside in to see what your clients or customers are seeing, perceiving, and experiencing, but also your vendors. So really, I'm very holistic. But at the same time, I say, okay, let's look at it from the inside out, because that's where things really work. Because a lot of businesses, they may shine the apple. You see that in some big corporations. The apple looks very shiny. But if you go inside, oh my goodness, what do we need to start with? And it's very hard to do that. So what I want to do is keep it real simple. Let's get down to the real basics and say, okay, what is it about what I'm about to do or what I have been doing in business? And go from there, whether you're profit or nonprofit. I've worked with both of those. I work with the largest NGO in the world, World Vision. And I've worked with others, Red Cross, but I've also worked, like I said before, some big corporations. But to keep it simple, I do have really six major key points to break down those barriers.
I love it. Share those with us, will you?
Yeah, so let me, if the listeners are out there listening, whether it's in the car, please don't pull out your phone or a paper and pencil. But those of you who can take note on this, or even if you're able to record this, if you're allowed to on the air.
Yeah.
But number one.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I said they will download our podcast so they can hear it again. So there you go.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah. So what is number one?
Number one is definitely what do you need to do to build and sustain attraction in your business, both for employees, even contractors, and how do you retain them? What do you need to do? And that's something that I can begin to work with. Each one of these points I'm going to bring up is a small mini workshop that I can do with individuals or businesses, even teams. Number two, so the first one, attraction and retention. Number two is, and people will say, isn't that number one? Is a clear vision, a purpose, a set of goals for the business, for the team, for the individuals. And that leads into more of the fortuitous internal approach inside out. Number three is create a diverse environment for constant improvement. So this one is really full of rich nuggets. Create a diverse environment for constant improvement, learning, constant learning, innovation in ideas and solutions. So this one's really chock full of good things. So each one of these are like mini workshops that I will be doing. Number four, be clear on the roles and expectations, whether it's just you or another person in your team, or you have 50 people. Everything I've covered so far is critical. Doesn't matter, like I said, if it's you or a team of 50 or even more. Number five, measure what you do and revisit numbers 1 through 4. That I had just talked about.
Right.
So measure what you do, because you got to measure what you want to do, and then what you do, you then find out what your dashboard looks like. So you can do what I mentioned before, constant improvement. Number six, and final, though it's not, is celebrate success. This is something you can do throughout. So you celebrate small, medium, large, and don't be afraid to share ownership in the business. And that's the key piece right there.
When you say celebrate success, some people are always on to their next goal, and they never even look at what they've, you know, what they've achieved in that small time. And I think that that's really so important, and so important for your team to be acknowledged, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And some people, like you said, you hit it on the nail. We're all looking for the next thing. Yes, it is a journey, but there's always a destination. Much like taking a train from London to Manchester, if anybody's done that, and I have, and you have all these stops, but each of the stops is part of what I mentioned before, is measuring your goals. And each one of those need to be celebrated. And the question is why? Why? Because you need to acknowledge what you've done. You need to acknowledge what you've done well and what you need to improve on. You need to acknowledge those who've contributed to success. You need to also recognize your vendors and your customers in achieving that together. It's imperative. And so through that process, you do that. When you achieve big ones, you celebrate big. When you achieve small ones, you still celebrate in a different manner. Absolutely. It's critical. Why? Because like oxygen to your body, if you stop breathing, you stop celebrating. You need to breathe. You need to really have that oxygen through your blood, because that's what keeps your body and your business going.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, people need that. It's almost like, why do you think that we have been a community or even a world that gives trophies or gives ribbons? Because people need to feel that they've done a good job. And there was a while back that we used to give everybody a ribbon. I don't agree with that, because, you know, but I do agree that you can have different levels of accomplishment. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with that. And going back to vision, purpose, goals, every time you celebrate, it goes back to that. Say, hey, look, this is what we set out to do. Make that visible throughout your office, throughout your online business, especially with your team, and recognize that. It just keeps it going. A lot of businesses, one of the things businesses get stuck on, I have, you have, everybody has, is we reach a plateau. Oh my goodness, I'm tired of blah, 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 which is important. Take time for yourself, take time to regenerate. But one good way to do it, one of a few ways, is to celebrate, to recognize, to find also ways of improving. Let me tell you a quick story. I was working with alongside a company way back when, with Ernst & Young way back when. One of the things I learned they did is, as we were doing this project for a major corporation in the Southeast, they celebrated mistakes. At the end of the week, they said, what were the biggest mistakes we made? What they did there is not to celebrate success. They celebrated mistakes. Why? Because then they were never afraid. They learned from it. They never forgot it. They helped each other. One of the things that I speak to and work with and embed in my clients and in myself on a daily basis is, what have we learned? And it's not bad or good. It's what it is. If you lose a client, well, you learn from that. And then you're much better the next time. But if you admit it, and the clients recognize that, and they know that you're making the improvements, the clients that are meant to be for you will be there, and they will give you the biggest nuggets for the effort. That is something that I learned from Ernst & Young way back when. I've done since then. It just diminishes that edgy nervousness that especially younger people have to say, hey, I can do this and I will learn through my mistakes, or at least we will then hedge and head off any potential mistakes.
Right. Dan Pedrala is who we're talking with right now. Build your business inside out, breaking down barriers to success. I definitely have to have you back. This is some really great stuff. How do my listeners find you? And how did they get to work with you?
Well, let me answer that directly, and that is, you can call me at 805 805-0953. That's 805-0953. The other is to also email me at my last name is K-A-R-J-A-L-A at duck.com. Duck.com. So Cardula at duck.com. So those two ways. I am working on a website in which it will be clean and simple, and you can go through there as well. And I will eventually, we can also work on a kennel appointment. But so we're in the cusp of really opening things up.
Well, Dan, please download our show and share our show with everyone. And of course, download our podcast. And I thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business.
And Kim, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. You're always a ray of light to everybody. Aww. And definitely to myself. And I hope the audience can continue to listen into your show and ask themselves, why am I doing this? Because in the beginning, that's really what we're asking is what's the purpose? Why are we doing this?
I love that. Thank you so much, Dan. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
And much success to you. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you to the audience. Bye-bye. All right. We are actually going to bring our next guest on. And of course, he has an interesting book. It is Creative Together, Sparkling Innovation in the New World of Work. Can you tell? I'm a little bit into business. And of course, we're talking about Stephen Kowalski. And as a leader, Stephen seeks to catalyze ideas and nourish potentials. Core areas of expertise include organization, development, learning, and innovation, leadership and effectiveness, team leadership, employee engagement, and creativity in business. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it and find out some progress towards shared goals. Stephen, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim. Hi, everyone.
How are you? And thank you so much for joining us. And of course, your newest book, right? Creative Together. How'd you come up with that name?
Well, actually, it was a process of co-creation with the publishers. I had originally come with a different title, and they encouraged me to consider another title. And it was a hugely collaborative process. And so we kind of modeled Creative Together.
Oh, I like it. And so you, in your book, I guess it's broken into three adventures. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, the first adventure is really an inner journey that's organized to help change the story of who we are as creators, the story of how we believe creativity happens and how we show up into that, and really to shift from an ability-based definition of creativity to a potential-based definition of creativity. And that's the major shift in the story in Adventure 1. And then in Creative Together Adventure 2, it's really about bringing that creativity, all of our creative potential, out into the world and creating more effectively with others. Adventure 3 is really a springboard to practicing every day, because this is an ongoing journey to get better at creating together with others.
I love it. I love that. So, okay. So how did you come, and is this your first book or do you have other books?
It's my first book.
Oh, congratulations. I love that when people have their first book out. So talk to us about what made you put this one together.
Well, it's really the culmination of all of my 25 plus years of expertise in working in the field of creativity. When I started my life, I thought I was going to be an artist, and I realized I was more interested in the psychology of creativity, why we create, how it works, you know, what gets in the way. And so I've studied it all my life, wrote my doctoral dissertation on creativity and bureaucratic organizations. And I've been working out in the business world with leaders and managers and coaching them and working with them out in the business world. And I wanted to bring all that I had learned over these years to everyone, especially leaders, especially managers, but really it's a book for everyone.
Wow, I love that. And so what is one of the top things that you would share with our listeners?
Well, when we create in social systems, we bring habits and patterns. I call them your creative style. And these styles really influence how we interact with others when we're pioneering, when we're venturing into the unknown, when we're innovating. And it's really critical that we understand ourselves and our patterns and our style, because certain aspects of our creative style can get in the way of creating most effectively when that work is really a co-creation, when we're after even more than collaboration, when we're after a co-creation, where we're truly producing a result that couldn't have been produced without us all working together.
Wow, I love that. So you are all about teamwork.
All about teamwork, yes. There's a myth, you know, the myth of the inventor in their basement or their attic or working solo. It's an old story of what creativity is. And in the new world of work, you know, things are so interdependent, so complex, things have to be done with others. And so in Creative Together, I'm really trying to bust the myth that we can create alone and then help people understand how to create more effectively with others.
Okay. And so what are one of the top ways to get everybody on the same page?
Well, purpose is critical, and shared purpose is really critical. That's where it all starts. So when I work with leaders and managers and coaching, you know, executives and so forth, and working with teams, I'm really after, what is the purpose? Why do we need something different than the status quo? And how can we shape that purpose as a shared purpose, not as someone's vision that then everyone else has to, you know, come along with, but, you know, how can we co-create a shared purpose? And I think that's the first step. Second most important arena I like to focus on is standing together, what I call standing together. There is this notion, especially in some leadership and management circles, that leaders, you know, their job is to create that vision and then get everyone on board. Well, when we're in a process of co-creation, getting everybody on board is not the best way to harness everyone's creative potential, but actually creating together and co-creating and standing together is the way to go.
Okay. So you talk about CDD and why must people work to overcome it. What is CDD?
CDD, Creativity Disruption Disorder. And this is what happens when we diminish the power of our creative potential. When we think that it's an ability that some people have more than others, maybe I think, well, you know, I got some measure of creativity. I'm not highly creative, but I'm not creative at all. This is actually really destructive thinking, because when we shift to a way of thinking about creativity as a potential, then it's there when we need it. And there's no reason to compare or think that creativity only, you know, comes out in the arts or in some, you know, sciences or marketing or something like that. Creativity is a potential that we all have, and it's something that we use actually every day, and we can become more conscious and more effective in how we use our creative potential.
That's really interesting. I've never even heard of that. I'm going to have to look that up. But you say it's important to develop a profound faith in your own creativity. Can you share that?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, you say that in your book that it's important to develop a profound faith in your own creativity.
Oh,
talk
yes.
to us about that.
Well, this is also part of, you know, the consequences of creativity disruption disorder, is that we lose touch with this amazing, sustainable, and inexhaustible potential that we have. And so we don't rely on it, and we don't consciously use it. So a profound faith or trust in our creative potential comes from recognizing we are highly creative. Our creativity rises up to meet circumstances when we need it. And if for some reason I haven't noticed, you know, my creativity active in my life, that doesn't mean that it's diminished or it's not there. it's always there. And this is a really important message, as especially in the business world, more and more we're relying on people bringing their creativity to the complex challenges we're facing. And if we have folks who don't have that trust, it'll be harder for us all to venture into the unknown together when we need to create something new, to innovate, to invent, to disrupt.
Right. And Stephen, you are a coach, correct?
Yes, I do. Coaching is one of the things I do amongst speaking and teaching, facilitating workshops, and doing organizational consulting.
And so if somebody was going to take your workshop, what would that look like?
Well, we would certainly explore the stories that we have and hold about ourselves as creators, and work to create, as some of my colleagues say, more geography, more space, spaciousness for new ventures, for us to venture into new areas. So that's definitely part of the journey. Then there are some superpowers that I talk about in Creative Together. There's four superpowers that amplify our creativity. So in our workshops, we focus a lot on those four superpowers and how we can bring forward more energy and dynamism to our creative potential. We also would explore the relationships that we have with our colleagues, and how we might bring a greater awareness of our style, and even shift and adapt our style to be more effective. So folks will walk out with a new version of their story about who they are as a creator, and also some practices and a practice plan for shifting their style.
Interesting. And who is your mentor?
I have a number of mentors that I think of immediately as you asked that question. One is Michael Ray. Michael mm-hmm. Ray wrote Creativity in Business, which was one of the works that influenced me greatly. And I chose to become certified in the Creativity in Business approach. He was a professor at the Graduate School of Business at Stanford, and is now a professor emeritus. Amazing, amazing man, with deep, deep knowledge in this and deep expertise in Silicon Valley. And also David Allen, who actually is one of the quote on the cover of Creative Together is by David, who reviewed the book. And David's methodology for getting things done has been one of the more influential methodologies in my life. So those are the two folks who come to mind.
I love it. And when you talk about together.in, tell us about that.
I'm sorry, it's a little hard to hear. Together.
Together.in, is that you created that, correct?
I have a whole host of resources that accompany the book that are connected to my website, stephenkowalski.com, but I'm not sure about creative.in.
Oh, okay. I thought that was part of it. Okay, so it's in your bio or whatever. But so let me ask you, sparkling innovation in the new world of work. Talk to us, what are my listeners going to find from your book?
Well, the world of work is changing, and we know that in just some of the effects of the pandemic, but also before that. The ways that the world has become more global, we see the breakdown of supply chains as just one example of what's possible if we're not paying attention to how things are so interconnected, complex, and in some ways volatile. So in this new world of work, one of the main points of Creative Together is we have to learn how to create more effectively. We have to be able to go into uncharted territory. Think about folks working in the arena of climate change, or the updating the electrical grid, or global relations, or any arena where the problems are so complex that we need to work together in a different way than we maybe have. And then these are big examples, but of course, every day there are examples. I work in the life sciences industry, and bringing medicine to patients for untreatable or untreated illnesses. I mean, there, you know, that's a whole new and other arena for venturing into the unknown. So it's really
critical.
I love
it. And I do want to just say, for anybody that's just waking up or starting to listen to our show today, we're talking with Stephen Kowalski. We're talking about his book, Creative Together, Sparkling Innovation in the New World of Work. You know what's interesting, and I just want to see what your thought is on that. A lot of people are working from home now, and that's a different energy also, correct? There,
yeah.
You know, how do you connect with your group when everybody kind of is isolated? Not so much as more, but I mean, a lot of people love it. But yet at the same time, how do you keep that energy going?
Well, one of the distinctions I make is about the type of work that we're doing. So, you know, some work is about discovery and pioneering and looking for that inventive, disruptive, mm-hmm. New products, new solutions, new approaches, and so forth, new services. When we're doing discovery work, I think it's really important to have some measure of time together. When we're doing work that's a little bit more about implementation or execution or more routine, I think it's easier to be separate and to do that work really well and incredibly effectively in the ways that we have developed through this pandemic and even as I said beforehand. So you know, a lot of it depends on what kind of work I'm doing. And then right. we can start to shape what the best combination of being together, my own needs, and the needs of the work are.
Yeah, I love that. And my last question to you is, what is the gifted methodology? What does that mean?
Oh, yes. Well, one of the most exciting things that happened along my journey in understanding what creativity really is this shift from a sense that creativity is some form of giftedness, which goes along with the definition that's an ability-based definition. So the shift from, you know, creativity is some form of giftedness to we are all gifted with this incredible potential. So gifted is something that helps democratize creativity. And it's an acronym for greet the unknown with passion. Usually we greet the unknown with dread, but greet the unknown with passion, ignite creative potential, flex your superpowers, thrive in co-creation, experiment in the swamp. We're going to go into the swamp when we're creating and venturing into the unknown. And then dare to dream big. So the GIFTED is an acronym.
I like that. And is that something that's known in the workforce, a force of this? I mean, this is like so new to me, you know?
Yes, it's the result, as I said, of all of my years working with scientists and engineers and IT folks and HR folks and all kinds of folks from different industries. And I've offered the gifted methodology in Creative Together. And I'm hoping to, through conversations like this, to bring this out to the world and help people shift into this way of approaching life and work.
I love it. I mean, it kind of almost brings a different flair to business, I guess you would say, kind of bringing a little bit more passion, a little bit more, I almost want to say, like, I mean, I guess it's kind of in your book, sparkling to the work industry, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, people are chasing innovation, you know, leaders, managers will all say, hey, you know, let's be innovative. What we don't understand often is that to innovate, we need to get creative together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the crux of it. You can't just aim for innovation and expect innovation without helping people understand this incredible potential that we all have and how to use it more effectively together.
I love it. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. How does my listeners find out more about you and find your book?
Sure, Kim. Listeners, you can go to stephenkowalski.com. And there under the book tab, there's information about how to order the book. There's also all kinds of extra resources that are there and accessible Also, I've sent you two copies of my book to send out to listeners if you'd like.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I encourage everyone to go to their favorite online retailer and pick up a copy of the book. It's a great holiday gift.
I love that. And we're going to open up our phone lines right now for any of our listeners that are interested in getting one of those. Call in right now at 805-419-0008. Again, I thank you for being a guest here, and please share our show, download our podcast with everyone, and or download our podcast and share it with everyone, and happy holidays. Thank you again.
Happy holidays, Kim. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
You got it. All right. Again, I thank you so much for tuning in here to the Kim Pagano Show. We've had some incredible guests. And, of course, if you are interested in being a sponsor, please reach out to me. We'd love to take you on and share you and coach you and get your message out there. I always say, I'd like to make your message your magic, and I'd love to get on a call with you, a Zoom call. So please, we have plenty of people that call in all the time. I would love that to be you. And you can either call me direct at 805-419-0008, or you can email me at kim@kpshow.org. I would love to really help you get ready. So 2023 is a big year for you, and we're organized, and we figure out a way to get you out there. Again, I always end my show with a moment of happiness, and again, we must be relentless and resilient, and we must have a goal and be able to reach it. With that, you've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and I'll talk to you next week.